This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Warren Hudson did not go to his best friend's funeral. He'd known Nolan Wells since high school. He was out on the water with him on the 4th of July, and when they buried Nolan, Warren had to stay home. Because by then, according to his father, the family had taken thousands of death threats. His mother shut down her social media after strangers started coming for her younger children. Most of the other boys who were out there that day didn't make it to the funeral either. Nobody has been charged with anything in Nolan Wells' death. No evidence implicating any of those boys has been released by anybody at any point by any agency. Other than an attorney with a Twitter account that continues to post lies and insinuate people that were closest to Nolan had something to do with his very death. It's quite a thing to say without any evidence pointing to it. Well, Tony, there's the history in Yes, there certainly is, and that's not being doubted. But is there a history of these boys, these friends, these close relationships that are almost familial with Nolan Wells? Is there a history there of hatred and racism and bigotry? No, there's actually not. That all started after he died when Ben Crump came to town. Now, we don't know what's going on yet in this case. We don't have answers. We don't have an official autopsy. We don't have an official toxicology back. And Mississippi has a horrific history going up to this day with not investigating the deaths of black people. They do. It's horrific. We've gone over it 1,000 times on this show. I'm sure we will continue to. But what is also horrific is accusing people who loved that young man, who were standing by that young man, who also lost their best friend, of being the cause of his shuffling off of this mortal coil. That's pretty shitty when you don't really have anything that truly points to that other than wild, rampant speculation. Some of his best friends could not make it to that funeral because of the hate, not of which they had for their friend, but because of the hate which exists in this world, a hate that they were so desperately living above and not repeating the problems of the past. Federal prosecutors have charged three separate people in connection with this case. Not one of them has been accused of having anything to do with Nolan's death. Nolan Wells was 18. He played wide receiver at Southwest Mississippi Community College on July 4th of 2026. He went out on the water with friends he'd known since high school, headed for Horn Island, a barrier island off the Mississippi Gulf Coast. The National Park Service is blunt about what's out there. Nothing. No shelter, no drinking water, no facilities, no communication. You get there by private boat or you don't get there at all. The boats came back that afternoon and Nolan didn't. A park ranger found his body 2 days later on July 6th along the shoreline near the island's northwest tip. He was the only black kid that was on that specific boat. Within hours, a version of what happened to him was circulating that no investigator had signed off on. July 6 matters for a second reason. The same day, before an autopsy, before toxicology, before anybody had opened anything at all, Jackson County Sheriff John Ledbetter, in all of his infinite wisdom, said no foul play had been identified. He said Nolan's friends were cooperating. He said people interviewed by investigators reported that Nolan had chosen to stay behind on the island, expecting to catch a ride back with somebody else. The timing has a problem buried inside it. Jackson County Coroner Bruce Lind had already asked that the autopsy be performed at the state medical examiner's office. He stated the reason was the condition the body was found in and the need to determine definitively whether there was any trauma or foul play. So on the same day, the county's public position was that no foul play had been identified, and the county's official request was for somebody else to find out whether there was any. You can't know if there hasn't been if you haven't looked at the evidence yet. So that happened. Those are the words of a sheriff. Those are not the words of the friends that weren't allowed to go to their friend's funeral. But somehow, that horrific misstep of making that statement gets tied back over to those boys. There's exactly one document that settles the trauma question here. The reaction that followed did not come out of nowhere. Mississippi has certainly earned it. Mississippi has earned it. Those close friends of Nolan Wells, we've yet to see anything that shows they earned any of the shit they're getting. January 23, Rankin County, a caller complained that two black men were staying at a house with a white woman, six white law enforcement officers who called themselves the Goon Squad, went in without a warrant. According to federal prosecutors and the men's own guilty pleas, they handcuffed Michael Corey Jenkins and Eddie Terrell Parker and tortured them for close to 2 hours. They used stun guns and racial slurs. One deputy put a gun in Jenkins' mouth during a mock execution, and it fired. Then they planted drugs and a weapon to cover what they'd done. And false charges stood against both men for months. Federal sentences ran from roughly 10 to 40. The history runs back further than that for most of two decades. Dr. Stephen Hain performed the bulk of Mississippi's criminal autopsies, by some accounts, well over 1,000 a year. The National Association of Medical Examiners recommends no more than 250. Hain has never passed the forensic pathology board exam. He worked repeatedly alongside Dr. Michael West, a dentist selling bite mark analysis. Between them, their testimony helped convict LaVon Brooks and Kennedy Brewer for the deaths of two little girls. Neither man did it. Brewer went to death row. Brooks spent about 15 years in prison. Another man eventually confessed to both cases in a federal appeals court, later described Hain as discredited and said he had lied about his qualifications. So when a Mississippi sheriff announces that no foul play has been identified on the same day a body turns up, and a lot of people say out loud that they don't buy it, that's not hysteria. That's a population reading its own paperwork correctly. The trouble is what filled the space afterwards. Not scrutiny of the sheriff's office, not pressure on the state labs. Names. Three of them. Pulled off group photographs taken on a boat. Warren Hudson is a teenager whose mother is a sitting chancery judge and who, according to his father, has cooperated with investigators from the start. His father says the family has received thousands of death threats. His mother shut down her social media after threats reached her younger children. He did not attend the funeral of the friend he'd had for many years. What the public record actually holds is a great deal thinner than what got stacked on top of it. Sheriff Ledbetter has said investigators interviewed roughly 60 witnesses, that the friends who traveled to the island with Nolan were interviewed in depth, and that the FBI is assisting with digital evidence, a Mississippi Department of Marine Resources email sent July 5th, and obtained by news outlets listed Nolan's alcohol intake as heavy, without identifying where that came from. A Marine Resources report said several friends who traveled to the island told authorities that when they left, Nolan was in the company of a woman they didn't know and had chosen to remain there. Marine Resources also released the distress call from that day. Somebody on the boat tells a private sea tow dispatcher that the bilge pump stopped working, that they're sinking. Asks them, please, to come. The dispatcher later says the people on board resolved it and it didn't need help. That recording exists. It's on the record. It says a boat full of teenagers was bailing water on the 4th of July. There's actually a real contradiction sitting inside all this. That's why the family's questions have not gone away. Crump has said a witness reported Nolan planned to leave the island on the boat with his friends. The friends told authorities he chose to stay. Both of those, they're arguing, cannot be true. I would say it could very well be true. You can tell your friends one thing, you can tell a girl another, and you can be in the middle of two of those decisions and neither of them work out. Nolan's parents have said the account of him staying behind is out of character for their son. Yeah, it might be, but you know what? When you're that age, you kind of do things that can be out of character. So being young and dumb is all about. And we've all been there. I'm not calling him dumb for any reason other than he's young, and we've all been young and dumb, and we all make decisions that are not the greatest. We still do. Crump has raised the phone and the fact that Nolan's parents located it before investigators did. Those are legitimate open questions. And pretending they aren't does nobody any good, but insinuating that there's things on these devices or things that are not on these devices because of nefarious reasons when you really don't have any evidence that anything nefarious occurred, well, that kind of puts some undue finger-pointing at people who don't necessarily deserve it. And look, if there was evidence pointing to something there, we'd be talking about it. There isn't. The family's own independent autopsy performed by Dr. Roger Mitchell came back undetermined pending investigation. No fractures, no deep tissue injuries, an area of red discoloration at the back of the skull that he called inconclusive, and a line stating he could not rule out that non-accidental factors contributed to or cause of the death. Cannot rule out is not evidence of. Two different sentences, two different meanings. The only one of them made it into the group chats. Nobody's been charged with anything. No evidence implicating Warren Hudson or any of his friends has been made by anybody with any sort of authority. And there's a piece of that nobody screaming those names online seems to know. Dr. Benjamin Hudson, Warren's father, pledged $50,000 of his own money towards the reward in this case. Not for a defense fund, for information leading to an arrest and conviction in Nolan Wells' death, if there's anyone to convict. His pledge, according to the Sun-Herald, brought the total reward to $225,000 alongside $50,000 each from Al Sharpton and Tyler Perry and $25,000 from Terrell Owens. That's the lineup. Al Sharpton put up money to find out who killed Nolan Wells, if anyone actually killed him. He died. It doesn't mean he was killed by someone. There's a difference. So did the father of the kid the internet decided did it. Speaking for himself and his son, Hudson told the Sun-Herald, they don't know what happened. He said they've been completely transparent from the beginning because they want to know what happened too. Now, a man who wanted his son protected from an investigation has a much simpler play available to him. He shuts up. He lawyers up. Does not go put $50,000 on the street for anybody who can produce a conviction, because the one thing a cover-up cannot survive is a stranger with information and a financial reason to hand it over. Somewhere between Mississippi's actual record and a comment section, a distinction got lost Believing Mississippi's institutions can't be trusted is a conclusion. It's a conclusion drawn from Rankin County, from Hayne and West, from a 1,300 case backlog, from a sheriff talking before he had a report. That conclusion is earned and it's defensible, and nobody has to apologize for holding it. Accusing Warren Hudson or his friends of killing his friend is a completely different act. That's an accusation against a specific human being with a name, a face, a family, an address. It requires its own evidence. It does not inherit evidence from the first conclusion because the state's failure to be trustworthy is not a fact about a teenager. One does not produce the other. They aren't even the same kind of statement. The distrust is real. The distrust is justified. The distrust is not a warrant. Meanwhile, two grieving groups of people started aiming lawyers at each other. The Wells family has raised more than $800,000 to fund an independent investigation. Ben Crump is there. They hired their own pathologist. They retained audio engineering experts to review the CETO call, and they've subpoenaed social media records. Crump has publicly called for outside authorities to be included in any review of the phones belonging to the friends who went to the island. The family is entitled to every bit of that, given the record. Hiring your own everything is rational. The announcements have a pattern to them. The independent autopsy findings were delivered from a stage at the NAACP National Convention in Chicago. The next round came at the National Urban League Conference. Those are conferences. Those are not courtrooms. They are not grand jury rooms. They are not a state lab. None of that moves a single piece of evidence one inch closer to a cause of death. It does move a story. It moves attention. It moves donations. And it puts three teenage boys' names in front of a national audience that has no case file and no patience. Then a Give, Send, Go campaign appeared on the other side, organized by Benjamin Hudson. It names Warren Hudson and two of his friends and says that they have been inundated with death threats, threats of violence and defamation. Two stated goals: defend the friends against any wrongful death actions and fund a legal team to sue over what it calls slander and libel. It clears a $100,000 target. A representative for the Taylor & Cox law firm confirmed to Rolling Stone that the firm represents the Hudson family and that the fundraiser is legitimate. And there's a link, by the way, in the description in case you'd like to help fund it. $900,000, two legal operations, zero charges, and a central document nobody outside a grand jury room has been allowed to read. So who did those three federal defendants actually threaten? A 27-year-old man from Sacramento was charged with interstate transmission of a threatening communication after allegedly sending a string of Facebook messages to a Jackson County Chancery judge. According to the criminal complaint, the messages said a bomb would arrive at her office and blow her away when she saw it. Filings described the sender, adding that it was probably the best to have the boys there to see it as well. A woman from Cincinnati was charged after prosecutors say she placed close to 30 bomb-related calls in under an hour on July 23rd to the George County Chancery Clerk's Office and the Jackson County Sheriff's Office. Prosecutors say she used a blocked number, warned employees not to go outside, told them the clock was ticking, and told them they would die. A government building went on lockdown while dogs searched. And a man from Berwyn, Illinois, was charged after prosecutors say he called a witness in the case, said he was going to kill him and members of his family, and then texted the man his own home address. A chancery clerk, a court staff, sheriff's employees, a judge, a witness. Not one suspect among them. Not one person in that group that's been actually accused by anybody of any legitimate involvement in Nolan Wells' death. They got threatened for being near the story. Then there's what happened to Nolan's own mother. In the days before Christine Wansley buried her son, strangers mailed things to her house too, not condolences. She posted the hate mail publicly because that's apparently what a grieving parent has to do now. Her supporters say her professional profile got buried under one-star reviews. She works as a family medicine nurse practitioner. Elmore Wansley said a parent can't grieve while people are attacking them, attacking their job, attacking their character. He asked where the empathy was. Yeah, where is the empathy for her? Where is the empathy for his friends? Why has the world decided to pit the two of them together? What decisions have been made? Who's chosen to align themselves with who? Who's hijacked who for their own twisted motives that have nothing to do with actually finding out what happened to Nolan Wells? When someone dies mysteriously, you don't begin an investigation with an answer. You go into it asking questions. Pretty much the opposite of how this has been from the side of Crump. See, Crump's gone in asking who killed him. Not did someone. No, who? Well, we have to determine the did first. Did that happen? And then we can get to the who. When you jump ahead steps like that in an investigation like this, you can very easily start naming people who do not deserve to have their name out there with that sort of an accusation against it. And I hope every one of them sue you till you are blue. So you don't have a vehicle to drive in. For doing that to people who have had nothing. But cooperation to offer this investigation. And like I've said, we don't know yet. If there's something to find, if we're going to find out what happened, then we'll follow it that way. But I'm sorry, as of right now, the jumping to conclusions in this case is sick. And I'm not saying I have the answers. I'm saying we don't know, and it is sick to jump that far down the road without knowing the answer. Ask all the questions you want, like I've said. They're well-deserved with the history of Mississippi. But there are facts, and there are answers, and there is reality. And if it doesn't align with the narrative that an attorney started spouting out on day one, doesn't mean they're lies. It means somebody's narrative might not be what they thought it was going to be. And now they have some crow to eat. Oh, don't worry. They'll just abandon the family and move on like nothing happened, leaving them to pick up the wreckage. There ain't no going back on, maybe we were wrong. I'm sorry we hijacked the grief of your son. No, that's not how that's going to work. Nolan's mother, the woman asking what happened to her child. And the pattern finishes itself. Both families, both sides of this case, that really shouldn't have necessarily sides. They've all lost someone they love. Nobody's been charged with anything. Whatever this thing is, it isn't following evidence. It's following proximity. It's following hate. It's following the worst in human beings. It hits whoever is standing closest in whatever direction they happen to be facing. And the one document that could answer some of these questions is still sealed. Mississippi, in their infinite wisdom, says, we're going to save that for the grand jury. The secret of grand jury that's not on the record in any way, shape, or form, but trust us, because we have such a great track record. Hate that. Go after that. Go after the sheriff. Go after the medical examiner. Go after that shit. And demand transparency there. Because the people who are giving you transparency, the people who have been volunteering anything and everything they can to find out what happened to their friend and to also clear their own names, are already voluntarily, transparently giving you all the information they possibly have freely and openly. But for some reason, the internet still has a target on their backs. Not the people who actually deserve it most. The state of Mississippi. The Mississippi State Medical Examiner's Office completed Nolan Wells' autopsy in late July. Trauma findings, toxicology, all of it. And it stays sealed until a grand jury reviews the evidence. The Office of District Attorney Angel Myers McClarth has described that as standard practice in Jackson County. The office holding that report is the same office the Associated Press examined in 2022. The AP found roughly 1,300 outstanding autopsy reports, some dating back to 2011, around 800 of them involving homicides. National standards say most reports should be finished inside 60 days. Mississippi families have waited a year longer, with prosecutors frozen while they wait. The state's public safety commissioner called the backlog unacceptable and said clearing it was its top priority. The backlog is exactly why Christine Wansley did not sit around waiting for the state to explain how her son died. She went out and paid for her own pathologist. Given the history, that was the correct call. It's also why nobody outside a grand jury room can honestly say what happened on that island. The same institutional failure that makes her distrust reasonable is what makes everybody else's certainty worthless. One fact, two edges. All of it traces back to the same place. Three young men in hiding. A judge shutting down her social media because her family was threatened. Bomb dogs walking a county clerk's office. Three federal prosecutors. $900,000 raised by two families to fight each other. Hate mail arriving at a dead boy's house before his funeral. Every piece of that sits downstream of one thing. One sentence said on July 6th by an official who had no way of knowing yet, and one report finished in late July inside a building nobody is allowed to enter. That is where the accountability belongs. On the office that spoke before it knew, on a system that produced Hain and West and the Goon Squad, and then asked to be taken at its word anyway. On the machinery that leaves a mother burying her own autopsy, or buying her own autopsy, because the state's version might take a year, not on a photograph of teenagers on a boat. Warren Hudson never got to say goodbye to his best friend. His father put $50,000 on the street to find out who took him. Neither of those is what guilt looks like, and neither of them will get an hour of the attention that three names off a boat photo got in an afternoon. Nolan Wells was 18 years old. He played football. He went out on the water on the 4th of July with people he'd known since high school, and he never came home. And his mother does not know why. No one knows why. There's $225,000 sitting on the table for anyone who can tell her. Every hour anyone has spent building a case against people no prosecutor has charged is an hour nobody spent trying to collect it. Give me your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. I'd love for you to weigh in and give us your thoughts. This is such an angering case all around. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Third Love makes bras that actually fit, so they know this. If your bra feels uncomfortable, the problem isn't your body, it's your bra. Third Love designs for comfort first. Soft fabrics, support that doesn't dig, pinch, or slip. Bras that feel good and look good under everything you wear. Shop Third Love and explore over 60 sizes, including AA through H, and half cup sizes you won't find anywhere else. Get $15 off your first purchase at thirdlove.com with code PODCAST15.
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something. But I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money, inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public will be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too, because where you get your information matters.